This Christians for Messiah Ministries teaching was presented by Dr. Peter Wins at our first CFM dinner and celebration meeting in August of 2009. This message is called Searching for God's Glory.
I want to speak to you tonight a very important message. It's called Searching for the Glory. And you're all destined for glory. You know that the Bible tells us that during a time of great darkness, that glory will cover the earth. Glory will come upon God's people. What is the glory of God in terms of us? Well, we could have days when extraordinary things happen. Every day is a God day in my life and in your life too. But there ought to be days when things are extraordinary. They're not an average God day. They're a supernatural, world-changing, life-changing God day. And those I call glory days. You all ought to experience supernatural signs and wonders. And tonight, in this message, I want to speak to you. I want to call you up to a life where you search for the glory of God. Where you look for the glory of God. You know, once the early disciples were called from their boats, called from their fishing nets, they started to walk with Jesus. They started to see miracles. They started to see things happen. And from that point on, they started to look with the eyes of the Holy Spirit. They started to look into the heavens and say, what's going to happen around the corner? What's going to happen when I wake up tomorrow? What different things are going to happen? And I'm speaking to you tonight about searching for the glory days in your life. See, there's many average days, but then all of a sudden, if you've walked with God, you're going to experience some glory days. I think of this trip to Bulgaria that Joy and I just took a few months ago. And there was a man, a pastor I pointed out to you. His name is Gosho, which means George. And that's what they call him. They call him Gosho. And he was our chauffeur. He drove us around. And finally, he took us to his village. In that place, in that country of Bulgaria, we actually went to churches where there was many, many hundreds of people. And then we went to villages where there were just 30 people and ministered there. And his village just had 1,000 or so people living in the village. And 30 of those people were in his church. And on the way there, he says, Dr. Peter, I need you to come to our village because we have two prophets who are fighting with each other. And he says, the problem is there's only one church in the village, and it's this church. And both of them are believers. And both of them are true prophets because they speak the words of the Lord and they come to pass. These men are in their 50s or 60s. But one of them says that the other one has demon spirits and he stopped coming to church. And there's a big fight, and I want you to come to our village and solve this problem for me. So I said, well, I'm glad to come to the village, and let's see what God will do. Well, I went to the village, and actually we had two meetings, and the one prophet is not there anymore because he said the other prophet has witchcraft in him. The other prophet was there. And at the end of every meeting, what I said to the people, through translator, of course, everybody who's sitting here at the end of the meeting, I'm going to come and lay hands on you with my wife, Joy, and we're going to break curses off of your life, and we're going to pray God's blessings and healing into your life. If you do not want us to pray for you, then get up and stand by the door, because we're going to pray for every person. And this one man was this prophet. He went up and stood by the door. And in both those meetings, he was the only person who did not get prayed for. At the end of the meeting, he wanted to tell me why. And so through our translator, Pastor Gosho, he says, the Bible teaches us that the greater should pray for the lesser and not the lesser for the greater. So he said to me, so because I am greater than you, he said, I don't want you to pray for me. Well, I knew the man had a big problem. And I said, well, you can pray for me after I leave. Thank you. And I got in the car and I told the pastor as we were driving out of the city, I said, he's got a control issue. He's got witchcraft in him. And you can't kick him out of the church. He hasn't done anything specifically wrong. But don't give him a lot of room because there's real serious problems in his life. And then the Gosho, the pastor, said to me, can we go and visit the other prophet? And I said, no, he didn't come to the meeting. And we've got another church to go to now. You even phoned him and asked him to come. And he says, but Peter, I need you to come to see this other prophet. I said, Gosho, he didn't come to the meeting. I'm not going to his house. And as we drove down the street, he stopped the car. He said, there he is. And here comes this man who looked like a janitor, about 60 years of age, and he had an old bicycle, and he was walking up the hill like this. It was the other prophet. And he said, this is a God moment. Look at this. There he is. There he is. And I said, well, come on, let's go and talk with him. So we got out of the car, and then the prophet came up to us, and he said, through the translator, Dr. Wins, I am so glad to meet you. I was praying and asking that God would let me meet you. And then he said, whatever you tell me, I will do. And I want you to pray for me. And I said, well, the first thing is you go back to that church. And don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I said, that other man does have demon spirits working in him. And because of pride. And I said, but you mustn't run away from that. Those people need you. And you go back there and stay in that church and minister to those people. He started to weep. And there on the side of the road, we laid our hands on him and prayed over him. And then he said, I will go back to the church now. And then we drove off after 5 minutes. And Gosho was rejoicing. He was just as happy. He says, God has answered my prayer. Hallelujah. And he was just thrilled with what had happened. And I just got an email a few weeks ago now, about 6 weeks after we had come home from Bulgaria, saying that the other prophet has now repented of his pride and of his sin, and they are getting along together well, and the church is growing in our village. So we give glory to God. I think that is a glory day. You know, we, Joy and I, have glory days all the time when something supernatural, something powerful happens. And in your life, you should have glory days. In fact, you should be looking for the glory days. Now, I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 12. And I want to read to you about a very powerful story here. In Acts chapter 12, it says it was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting Peter, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked on the outer entrance And a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be an angel." But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said. And then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered them to be executed. A little while later, I'm paraphrasing now, Herod himself died. This was a glory day in Peter's life, but it didn't start off so well. Some of you may be at a rough time in your life right now. But that doesn't mean that glory days are not around the corner. And tonight I want to talk to you about looking for your glory days. You see, this started because the Jewish people were all upset with the preaching of the gospel. And they took hold of James, who was the brother of John, the son of Zebedee, handed him over to the Roman authorities, and they had his head cut off. This is Herod, one of the seven Herods in the scriptures. And this Herod is the first grandson of Herod the Great. And his uncle was the one who cut off the head of John the Baptist, another Herod. And there's a spirit of murder, a generational spirit of murder that were in these kings. And now they got a hold of James and cut off his head. The next day they took Peter and put him in prison. You know what day it was? It was the day of the second feast in the Jewish calendar, the day of unleavened bread. This is the same day to the day, 10 years later, from when Jesus was lying in the tomb. And Peter was somebody who had received the baton from Jesus. Do you remember what Jesus said to him personally? He said, "Peter, you're going to be shaken like wheat, but when you recover, strengthen the brethren." And then, after Peter kind of fell off the horse because he denied the Lord three times and went back to fishing, Jesus rose from the grave and he met him on the shore and he said, "Peter, look me in the eyes. Feed my sheep." Three times he said to him, "Feed my sheep." It was as if Jesus was taking the baton and giving it to him. The whole book of Acts is primarily about two great apostles, the apostle Peter and the apostle Paul. And here we find in the 12th chapter that this man of God, who is very, in a very real way, taken hold of the baton of Jesus, walking in his footsteps, seeing powerful miracles. On the day of Pentecost, he's the one who got up and preached. Extraordinary miracles were happening through him. And now, 10 years after the death of Jesus, on the very day, he's thrown into prison. He's thrown into a prison the day after his co-worker and ministry companion had his head chopped off after being thrown in the same prison. I think Peter thought, "Well, this is it. My Jesus was crucified. My brother had his head chopped off." And then look at the situation. He has four sets of four soldiers from the Praetorian Guard watching over him. Two of them are chained directly to him in the cell. And then there are three posts of four soldiers each. This is not the soldiers of the prison. These are just the soldiers who've been commanded to watch him. He is in an impossible situation. This grand escape ranks up there with the most miraculous of all of the escapes in all of history. This is something like God protecting Daniel from the lions. It's something like the children of Israel who were in the fiery furnace being brought out. It's something like Paul and Silas and an earthquake coming and breaking their chains. This ranks up there with the top of them. Now, this Peter, he didn't worry that he was in prison. He didn't worry that he probably was going to have his head chopped off the next day. In fact, he fell asleep. Some of us might be having a hissy fit or a panic moment, crying out to God. But he didn't need to cry out to God. He was walking in the purpose of the Lord. This Peter was one who every day he looked for another glory day. He looked beyond the superficial. He knew that God was with him and powerful things were going to happen in his life. I want you to be there. And now he says, maybe my time is at hand. It's up to God. See, Satan can't kill you. There was a demonic conspiracy that had come from a generation of murderers, of Herods, that were out to chop off his head. It wasn't just a wicked king. It was a seething, demonic, aggressive force coming against him. I wonder if you felt the battle of demons that might want to come against you and your family. But he was not fussed by any of it. In the middle of the night, the Bible says that an angel came and smacked him. It actually says he poked him. He said, wake up. Here he's got a soldier on this side and a soldier on that side. All of a sudden, the chains fall off his wrists and he stands up. He goes out of the prison. The prison doors open. And then there are three sets of four guards each that he has to pass. They are not all sleeping. So the second great miracle that takes place here is that he is made invisible to the eyes of the guards. He thinks he must be having a dream. He thinks he's in a vision or something. And he just keeps walking with the angel, probably with a smile on his face. I'm liking this dream a lot. And he goes through the iron gate out onto the road. And the Bible says that he and the angel walk a full length of a street. And then the angel disappears. And Peter comes to himself and realizes this is not a vision. This just happened. This is a glory moment in his day. Sometimes the biggest glory moments happen in the midst of tragedy, catastrophe, and great troubles and impossible situations. But you ought to be looking. You ought to be living for the glory of God. It's not for your personal glory. It's for his glory. And he went to the home where he knew the church was praying. And when he got there, he knocked on the door. And one of the young ladies named Rhoda came to the door. I guess she peeked through the little visor. I don't know what she did, but she knew it was Peter. But she got so excited, she went back to tell everybody and left him out there. And finally, they all come to the door. And when they see him, they can't believe it. Now, they've been praying for his release. But when he's released, they can't believe it. Because they were not looking for glory days. They didn't expect it to happen. I wonder if you are looking for glory days. See, there's glory days in all of your lives. But you might not reach them. You might not experience them. Because you might be living superficially, circumstantially, just living by what you see with the natural eye, but not looking beyond that which is normal and that which is average, not looking beyond to see where is the glory of God coming. See, there was a lot of average days in Peter's life in between the glory days. Joy and I have glory days, I'd say, at least one a month, where something powerful and supernatural happens in somebody's life. We see it. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Unusual situation. Impossible situations that turn around. So my eyes look beyond this present day. Beyond this present week, this month, this year. I'm looking for the glory of God in my life. There's mountain peaks in between the average days where the glory days are going to come. And Peter, let me tell you something about him. This book of Acts, which is about him and Paul, it is actually a history book that spans over a period of 35 years. This is somewhere in the middle. It's 10 years, actually, into the book of Acts. About 4 years later, something very powerful happens, and Peter needs to be there. There are two main things, actually only two, that the Bible talk about after Peter is released from this prison. Do you know his name is only mentioned in the Bible 7 more times after this happens? And there's only 2 events that take place. Now, I'm sure he had many other glory days, but these are the only 2 that are mentioned in the Bible. And one of them happens about 4 years later in Jerusalem, where the apostles and prophets come together to determine what kind of Jewish laws should be placed on the Gentiles. And Peter, it says in Acts chapter 15, stands up and he gives the report, basically referring to his time with Cornelius and bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. And basically says, let's not put the Jewish laws on the Gentiles, but welcome them into the kingdom of God. He needs to be there at the Jerusalem Council. That was a God day for him. A glory day. The other thing is that he has to write the 2 books, the 2 letters. 1 Peter, we call it, and 2 Peter. And these are the pastoral letters which tell us how to deal with persecution. How to deal with trials and tribulations and difficulties. How to rejoice in moments of affliction, and how to stand strong in the power and the ways of the Lord and to look for his coming. That's what 1 Peter and 2 Peter is all about. And those are the only 2 things. Do you know, if you are predisposed for glory days, you will not die. I've almost died 12 times now where I should have died, except for the grace of God and his mercy. Peter was in prison. Now, James had his head cut off. He's into permanent glory days now. But not Peter. He had 2 more monumental things to do. One was to be at the Jerusalem Council. And the other was to write those 2 letters for the church. We're still reading them 2,000 years later. Now I wonder, I ask you, what monumental glory days have been assigned to you? Do you know? There will be periods of average days, but you should always be living for the glory day. If you live for the glory day, you will live the average day properly, because you're always in a place of expectancy. You're always in a place where you're before the Lord. You're always in a place where you're walking as you ought to walk, because you know that at any moment in your life, the glory day may come. And that monumental thing that you are called for will emerge. Young or older, male or female, God has assigned to you these glory days. Now, I want to give you 3 things in closing that Peter did to prepare himself for glory days. And I share them with you so that you will prepare yourself, so that you will search all of your life. Nothing else will satisfy you except the glory of the Lord and supernatural power and authority in your life. Here's the 3 things I want to tell you about Peter that prepared him for the glory days. The first one is that Peter was always sold out to Christ. Always, right from the very beginning. When Jesus told him he was going to die on the cross, Peter stood up and said, "Never, Lord." Basically, he said, "I won't let it happen." He said, "I will lay down my life for you." And Jesus responded, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. But can you see the heart and the intention of Peter? He's totally sold out right from the beginning. And then when Jesus comes back to him and he says, "Peter, feed my sheep." He says, "Yes, I will." He says, "Will you feed my sheep?" "Yes, I will." "Will you feed my sheep?" "Lord, you know I am totally sold." This is not just a one-time thing. We ought to live in a permanent place of being totally sold out to God. You cannot have the glory days unless your life is so preset to be totally sold out for God. It wasn't a matter of, "Can I pay the price today?" Every day it was just like a normal thing. Of course, I sell everything for Jesus. I give everything for him. I'm sold out. That's the only life I have. If you have that, you've passed step number one. If you don't have it, go back and get it. Because you can't go on to the other steps till this one is there. If you want glory days in your life, be totally sold out. The second thing I want to tell you about Peter is that he was always going to the edge of faith. More than all the other apostles, it seems. He's the one who stepped out of the boat and walked on water. He's the one who got up on the day of Pentecost when thousands of people were gathered around. And the Bible says he stood up with the 11 and he said, "These men are not drunk as you suppose, but this is the prophetic fulfillment of the prophet Joel, where the Lord said, 'I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your men and women shall prophesy.'" And then he calls them to salvation. This is stepping out on the edge of faith. Peter always did it. He always stepped out on the edge of faith. And that's the second thing I want to tell you. If you want glory days in your life, the first one is you got to always be sold out to Jesus. And the second thing is, you've got to always go to the edge of faith. Now, I'm not asking you to do something that God isn't telling you to do. Don't be coming out with ideas to try to prove something and saying it's from God. That is not faith. I'm talking to you about hearing from God, walking with God. But when he tells you, when your heart starts beating and you know the voice of the Holy Spirit is there and he says, "I want you to pray for that person. I want you to speak into that situation. I want you to take a stand at this moment. I want you to do what I call you to do." It will be risky. And if you'll always be going out to the edge of faith, you will find your glory days. So the first thing is, be always sold out. And the second thing that Peter did was always to go out to the edge of faith. And the third thing he did was Peter would never quit. There's no way that this man is lying down. Even when he failed, he got back up again. When he made mistakes, he just got up again. In Acts chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, he and John have just previously gone up to the temple to pray, and they help a crippled man. They heal him in the name of Jesus, and they get taken in by the Jewish authorities and brought up before the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin says, "We forbid you to preach anymore in the name of this Jesus." And Peter says, kind of like the three Hebrew boys, "I'm not careful to answer you in this regard." See, he never quit. He said, "What is better for us, to obey man or to obey God? And should we not be going around doing good for the purposes of God? And be it known unto you that we will not stop to preach in his name." He never quit. And did he have rough days? Oh, yes, he had rough days. Oh, yes, he had difficult days. But he never quit. So here's three things. If you will do these things and always do them, you will find your glory days. That's what you're made for. That's what you've been called to. You've been called to live in the glory days. In the days that are not normal. The days that are not average. The days that cannot be explained. The days of the supernatural, where heaven and earth meet, and you partner with heaven. If you will do these three things, as Peter did. One, you will always be sold out. Two, you will always be going to the edge of faith. And three, you will never quit. Now, the Holy Spirit is here. And in closing of this meeting, we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask for the board members and my family to come on up here and stand on the stage if you can. We're going to pray for you together. You know, the church was praying for Peter when he was in prison. It was an important part of the recipe for the purposes of the Lord. Four things I want to pray for. I want to pray for you and your families. I want to pray for a supernatural move of the Holy Spirit in your life for the glory days to come more often. Some of you have had a glory day in your life. Let me tell you one thing. If you ever get rescued like Peter was rescued, it means it's because there's more glory days that have been assigned to you. You can't leave yet. Has there been a miraculous time in your life when you've been saved? People say, well, God must have saved me for a purpose. It's not just a cliche. It's really, really true. But you cannot be a couch potato and find glory days. You've got to do these three things. So we're going to pray for you and your family. I want you, when we pray for your family, to believe for the things that we ask for your children, for your grandchildren, for healings, and for supernatural things to happen in your family. For you are a doorway of blessings for your family. God has chosen you for that. And secondly, we want to pray for the nation, for the United States of America, for President Obama. I pray that God would take hold of him and bring him to a good place in the purposes of God. That will take a miracle in my estimation. But I believe in miracles. God has his ways. And I want to pray for Israel. And then I want you to stand with us as we pray for Christians for Messiah Ministries. We've shared with you a little of what we do tonight. And we thank you for being here and for your partnership with us. But we know that there's so much more that we're supposed to be doing. We want to train up people to do what we do. Because really, we don't know a whole lot of people who are doing those things. But there should be so many people. And we want people to join us and to be empowered and to see the glory of the Lord. I'm going to ask you to stand. And I am going to pray. And these people here who are on the stage with me are going to stretch their hands out to you. Now, before I pray, I want you to ask the Lord for something about your family. If you need help in your marriage, or somebody in your family needs healing or salvation, I want you just right now, before I pray, I want you to say, Lord, this is what I'm asking for. Ask for something powerful. Ask for something for your family now. That's right. And I'm going to begin to pray. And as I pray, what I want you to do is to say amen. Amen is the agreement that sends the prayer into action. It's like pushing the send button on the computer. When you say amen, it doesn't only mean I agree. It means let it happen now. Amen. Let it happen now. Amen. Let it happen now. It's pushing that send button. All right? So let me just pray now. And you, amen, as the Holy Spirit leads you to. Lord, we thank you for this evening that we've had together. And we thank you for the power of the Word of God and the results that it will bring in our lives. And now I thank you for every person who is here. And I ask for their families and for their lives, for supernatural glory days. I ask for miracles, for those things that they have requested, for their children and husbands and wives, for their grandparents, for their parents, for aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters, for family members. Let it come now. I ask for an opening of the heavens and release of your authority and power into their lives, for your glory and for your anointing to come. I speak it now in Jesus' name. And Father, we lift up to you the United States of America. Because, Lord, we are in need of you in a big way. I can't help but feel, Lord, that you are allowing some of the difficulties that we are facing at this time so that people's hearts will be turned back to you. And, Lord, I come into agreement with your agenda, with your plan. Lord, I ask that whatever is in your plan, Lord, let it come now. Let it come now so that the glory of the Lord might come. I ask you to watch over your people. I ask you, Lord, in this nation to cause your church to rise up with power and authority. Lord, I pray for President Obama. I ask you to turn his heart unto you and bring him on the path of righteousness. Lord, I ask, Father, that you would bless him so that he might be a blessing. And Lord, I pray for him. I ask you to protect him and keep him, but let the word of the Lord flow into him. I ask for a supernatural miracle on his behalf and good things to flow upon this nation. I ask for repentance to come in this nation. I ask for revival to come. I speak it, Lord, in agreement with your people in this place for your glory in Jesus' name. And Lord, we lift up to you the land of Israel. Lord, it seems that they are in a difficult time with people developing nuclear weapons to be aimed at them. It seems, Lord, that most of the world has turned against them again. But Lord, they are your people. They are the sheep of your pasture, the apple of your eye. And Lord, we ask now for protection upon the Jewish people and upon the land of Israel. And I ask especially tonight, Lord, for the movings of the Holy Spirit in that place, that their eyes might be opened, that they might see Jesus as Messiah, that the glory of the Lord would come. Let glory days come to Israel. Let them happen all over the nation. Let there be miracle after miracle after miracle. And may the hearts of the people be turned unto you. Lord, we speak peace over Jerusalem by the power of the Prince of Peace. We speak it in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we lift up our ministry to you, Christians for Messiah Ministries. Lord, we say from humble beginnings, you will do great things for your name's sake. We thank you for the partners and friends who are in this room. And Lord, for all that you have done to sustain us and keep us to this hour. Now, Lord, we ask that the doors would be open in front of us. The heavens would be open above us. That, Lord, you would put the finances together so that we may go forth. Lord, I ask that the workers may come alongside of us. That we might see extraordinary miracles in the name of your holy son, Jesus. That we might see curses broken. Deliverance to the captives. Special supernatural healings. The preaching of the word of God with power and authority. We ask, Lord, that you would take us, add to our numbers, and release us unto the harvest. For the glory of God, give us glory days. Give us glory days. Give us glory days for your honor and for your purpose. Lord, I thank you for this night. For all who have participated with us in this evening, we give you praise and glory. And we worship you and give you thanks for it all. We speak these things now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's winsusa@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com.
Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.